Our scripture reading this afternoon is found in Psalm 23. Read the entire psalm, and our text is especially the first verse, but we treat the whole psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The text that we consider this afternoon is Psalm 23. In particular, verse 1, and we read that at this time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, it's always a joyful occasion when a child of God confesses his or her faith. And the psalm that Aaron chose to be treated is, in fact, a confession of the faith of David. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this confession of faith is also a confession of every child of God. We ought to be able to say what David said, and to see ourselves also as dependent upon the shepherd, Jesus Christ. It's true that Psalm 23 is perhaps the most well-known of all the psalms, perhaps even ranking up there with the most well-known of all scriptures. And it's sometimes the case that being so familiar with a psalm, that might breed a certain contempt, but that ought not be the case. Scripture is not the same as other things that we become more familiar and we, in our familiarity, have a certain contempt. The fact is, the more we understand what Scripture says, and the more we understand the message of this psalm, the more precious it becomes to the child of God. In fact, Psalm 23 has been called the nightingale of the psalms. They call it that because although it's a very small psalm, yet its music is so melodious to the ears of God's people. Why is it that our hearts are touched the way they are reading the psalm? Well, because the inspired writer of the psalm himself writes from the heart. And what does he sing? What does he say? He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And everyone who confesses their faith confesses that truth essentially. The Lord is my shepherd. When Aaron appeared before consistory, everything he said about his relationship with God could be condensed down to that statement. And by God's grace, that's our confession too. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's consider this psalm then under that theme. Jehovah my shepherd. In the first place, let's know the sheep and the shepherd. That's the picture that David brings before our mind's eye. Secondly, let's note the care that those sheep are given by the shepherd. And lastly, the comfort that is ours under that care. Jehovah, my shepherd. The sheep and the shepherd, the care and the comfort. Although David begins the psalm with the wonderful truth that Jehovah is his shepherd, let's not forget what that implies. It's important to note that David sees himself as a sheep. That's all implied, of course. He doesn't come out and say it in those many words, but he sees himself as a sheep. And maybe when we think of that picture, we might just imagine in our minds a shepherd with an orderly, beautiful flock of sheep. And certainly, when David brings that picture to us, we ought to see that the flock does follow the shepherd. But there's much more to that picture as well. When David sees himself as a sheep, he implies certain things about himself. Why does David picture himself as a sheep? Well, no doubt David, because of his experience as a shepherd, he knew what it was like to tend the flock. He knew what sheep were like. He knew the needs of the sheep. And David knew that the sheep were absolutely dependent upon the shepherd. If there's anything, beloved, that we ought to see about ourselves, is that we are like sheep. We are absolutely dependent upon the shepherd, Jehovah. Why is that? Well, in the first place, sheep depend upon their shepherd because they are so prone to wander. They need a shepherd that will come and bring them back. They need a shepherd that will keep them from wandering. Why is it that sheep wander? Well, they're not apparently very smart creatures. Sheep are very good at getting lost. But sheep are not at all good at finding their way back to the fold. They're horrible at finding their way back. And of course, when they wander, they don't realize they're wandering in all sorts of danger. On the one hand, when a sheep wanders, he's wandering away from the shepherd. He's wandering in the wilderness. That means he's wandering away from the good grass. And he's wandering away from the clean water that's supplied to him. And where is he going? He's going, he doesn't know where. The sheep wanders out into the wilderness where there is no water and where there is no clean water and no grass for him to eat, where he might very well starve to death or die from thirst. And if that were not bad enough, when the sheep wanders, it's not only a lack of supply out there that causes danger. When the sheep wanders, he brings himself near the wild animals, the lions and the wolves, who want nothing less than to devour the sheep. That's what the sheep brings upon himself because of his lack of wisdom. But isn't that how Scripture describes us, beloved? When Scripture talks about us, it speaks of us as sheep. Multiple times throughout Scripture, we find that. Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Psalm 119, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Or 1 Peter 2, For ye were as sheep going astray. You see, that's the nature of sheep. And we are just like sheep. Why is that? Because Adam and Eve strayed in the garden. Adam and Eve rebelled against God in the garden, and now we obtain from them that corrupt nature, and so we are prone to wander just like sheep. We think we are wise enough that we can figure things out for ourselves, but just like sheep, when we wander, we get ourselves in deeper and deeper trouble. We get ourselves into a bigger and bigger mess. We try this avenue or the other, all the while wandering from the green pastures and still waters that God provides for us. And worse, like the sheep, we lay ourselves open to the attacks of the devil, who goes about, Scripture describes him that way, who goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the children know who would win in that confrontation. Don't you, children? A lion and a sheep come together. Who's going to win? Left to himself, the sheep will be devoured. How many of us, beloved, play with the fire of sin and convince ourselves, like sheep, we convince ourselves we won't be burned. We can play with this fire of sin. We won't be burned. How many of us handle or think we can handle the wickedness that is in the world around us? In the movies, we think, we can watch that. I can handle it. How many of us mix with ungodly friends and think, I won't be involved in their sins? Or how many of us read racy books and think, we won't be tempted to lust? Just like sheep, we think we can go a certain way. We think we will be safe from the wiles of the devil. That's what we're like by nature, beloved. We are prone to wander. That's the corrupt nature we inherited from Adam. And left to ourselves, we would never return to the fold. We never would. We would continue running from the shepherd. We would continue wandering if we were left to ourselves. Sheep, I say, are prone to wander into all sorts of danger. But if that were not enough, inherently, even without wandering, sheep are inherently needy creatures. Left to themselves, without even wandering, the sheep will not survive in the wilderness. They won't be able to find the food and water and the shelter that they need. And is that not the case with us, beloved? We are needy creatures. Now, sometimes we imagine we can care for ourselves physically and spiritually, but the fact of the matter is we are frail creatures of the dust. We are needy creatures. I suppose some might criticize David because he doesn't say all that explicitly. He doesn't come out and talk about himself as a sheep, but that is implied. Even though David doesn't say it, that is implied by his confession. When David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," that implies he knows he is a sheep. And it makes sense, does it not? David rejoices. Why does he rejoice that he has Jehovah as his shepherd? He rejoices in that because He knows His need as a sheep. And we too rejoice in God's grace. Why do we rejoice in God's grace? Because God has given us to know our misery. We rejoice in God's grace only if we recognize our misery and our need of that grace. And that's what David does. He rejoices that the Lord is his shepherd. Notice how personal his confession is. David doesn't merely say, "The Lord is a shepherd." No, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." And that's the confession, beloved, of every child of God who has been given to see our own neediness and God's provision to us. We confess, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, by nature, we wouldn't make that confession. By nature, we like to say, "No, I am my own shepherd." That's what we like to say by nature. By nature, we think we ourselves have the wisdom to provide for ourselves. By nature, we think that we can determine the way of blessedness. By nature, we don't want Jehovah as our shepherd. Not at all. But by grace, and David speaks of that grace in the psalm too, by grace, God renews our hearts, and therefore we say, as He plants that faith within us, as He gives us the gift of faith, we say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Notice in the third verse of Psalm 23, "He restoreth my soul," or we could translate that, "He restores my life." He gives spiritual life. By nature, David knew he was spiritually dead, but the shepherd restored his life. David, having been restored, having been given that life by grace, we also say, "The Lord is my shepherd." We don't say that grudgingly, saying, "Oh, the Lord's my shepherd, I wish it wasn't so, but that's just the way it is." No, we rejoice that the Lord is our shepherd, that He is my shepherd. That's the way we want it. And why is that? Because of the grace of that very shepherd. And we wouldn't have it any other way, because God has given us to see how wonderful it is that we have Jehovah as our shepherd. Not only does David rejoice that he personally has a shepherd, that rejoicing that he has a shepherd cannot really be separated from the fact of who the shepherd is. It's one statement. In other words, not only does David confess, "The Lord is my shepherd," but he also confesses, and here's a different emphasis, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." My shepherd, in other words, is none other than the Lord. In all capitals, of course, that means Jehovah. That's who my shepherd is. David rejoices that Jehovah is his shepherd. And who is Jehovah? The great I Am. That's what his name refers to. Amazing, is it not, that the creator of the universe, the I Am, who doesn't depend at all upon the creature, who is completely separate from the creation, who is far above all the creation, that He would make Himself a shepherd to unworthy sheep? Jehovah, who doesn't need you and me, would nevertheless condescend to us who are in misery and take us into His fold and make us His sheep and care for us? Jehovah, who is the faithful covenant God who promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob that He would be their God, and He continues that covenant promise with His people. That's who my shepherd is, David says. The Almighty God who never changes, the great I Am, Jehovah is my shepherd. You see why he rejoices? Not just that he has a shepherd, but that Jehovah is his shepherd and that not another is his shepherd. Well, how can it be? How can it be that Jehovah would make himself a shepherd of such an unworthy sheep? How can it be that Jehovah makes himself a shepherd to us who are unworthy sheep? Well, David doesn't say explicitly in the psalm, does he? But we know the answer. Children, you know the answer. Why is it that Jehovah makes himself our shepherd? Well, the answer is in the gospel. John 10, verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And what does the good shepherd do? The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's why God has taken us to be his sheep. Well, before the foundation of the world, in Jesus Christ, God gave a certain number of sheep to Jesus Christ. That's our election. And when Christ came into the world, he gave himself for the sheep. That is to say, he paid the price so that his sheep could be ransomed out of their bondage. He paid that price. That's our redemption. And now, based on that price and based upon our election and eternity, Jehovah God adopts us as his sheep. Does that bring joy to your hearts, beloved? That Jehovah God adopts us as his sheep. How our hearts ought to well up in thankfulness that such a God would condescend to such creatures as we are. That's David's confession. He sees himself as a sheep, but more importantly, he sees himself as a sheep of Jehovah the shepherd. When we confess that, and that's the idea too, when David confesses that, it's not just an abstract truth that doesn't touch his life. No, when David confesses that, it must be that he knows Jehovah's care for him. David's confession, you see, arises out of his own experience. Over and over again, David has seen that Jehovah truly is his shepherd, that Jehovah truly pastures him, leads him, and guides him in his life. Over and over he has experienced that good and merciful care of the shepherd. What was David's experience as regards the shepherd? He can look back at his past. He can consider his present situation. And when he looks at those things, he knows Jehovah has always been good and merciful. Jehovah has always been good and merciful. And in light of that, David, after he says, the Lord is my shepherd, then he proclaims, I shall not want. I shall not want. In the more modern English, we would say, I will not lack. Jehovah is my shepherd. I have not lacked in the past. I look back at the past. He's given me everything I need in the past. I look at the present. He has given me everything I need now. And therefore, it's obvious. I will not lack in the future either. Why not? Because Jehovah cares for me. How was God's care manifested to David? Was it the case that David had a smooth life, that he never met with any troubles? Not at all. We know the history of David's life. His life was full of turmoil. When David faced mighty Goliath, he considers Jehovah's care in the past. And it's striking, is it not? He goes back to how God cared for him when he himself was a shepherd. 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. Just as David was about to take on Goliath, he says this. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. You see how David's past experience colors how he sees Jehovah also in the present. He's always cared for me. That's what he's saying. Jehovah's always cared for me. Therefore, he will continue to care for me. When David and his men were pursued by Saul and his army, when Saul tried to kill David, did Jehovah care for David then? Well, of course he did. Absolutely, God cared for David. That didn't mean that David met with ease. It didn't mean that he could be comfortable before Saul. No, he ran for his life. And yet, Jehovah cared for him then too. When David's very son Absalom, his own son, rose up against him in order to kill him and take his throne, I don't even have to ask the question. Of course, Jehovah was caring for him then too, so that David could say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." David knew that it was always the case. And he could always say, I don't lack a thing that I need. Now, as soon as we consider some of David's life, we don't know exactly when he wrote this psalm, but as soon as we consider David's life and the turmoil that he met even before he became king, it ought to be obvious that David is not just talking about outward circumstances. David is not just saying, I won't lack any outward thing that I want. And here's where we ought to take a good hard look at the idea of desires versus needs. There are many things that we desire in life. And some we would even count as legitimate things. We all like to have health and strength. We all like to have lives where we don't have to worry about pain racking our bodies. We like to have stable jobs. We like to have food on the table. We like to have reliable transportation. We would like to have warm houses. We desire certain things, but our desires are not the same as our needs. That ought to be obvious, but it's good to be reminded, is it not? In fact, all of the things I just listed, health and strength, jobs, food, of all of those things, none of them is absolutely necessary. None of them is absolutely necessary. If it were, God would give them to us all the time. But God in His providence sometimes doesn't give us one or more of those desires. Sometimes he sends a lifelong sickness or chronic pain or disability. Sometimes there may be no food on the table. Does that mean Jehovah did not supply us with what we need? No. Jehovah always gives us what we need. And even if God should take away my very breath so that I die, I could say, well, I need to breathe. But if God took away my very breath, then in fact, I really didn't need that. What I really needed most at that time and what God supplied is that I would be taken out of this world and into God's presence. If God takes away our food so that we starve to death, we didn't need it. There are things that we want, and then there are things that we truly need. What things do we truly need? We ought to qualify that a little more. There is a sense, of course, in which we do need food and health and strength. If we are going to be able to serve God in a particular way. If we are going to have the strength to go and serve God, if we are not going to pass away, we do need some of these things. If God wants us to be able to work to support our families, He will provide us with jobs. Then we need a job. If God wants us to serve Him by raising a family, He will then give us what we need. He will give us a husband or wife. So there are needs in that respect. But David isn't talking just about physical needs. David is talking especially about spiritual blessings. What do we need more than food? What do we need more than a job? What do we need more than friends and family? What do we need the most? What do we need really? And that is peace with God. We need peace with God. The Lord, our shepherd, sees us in our misery. He sees us guilty in our sins. And He provides a sacrifice in order to bring us peace with God. He supplies our need. He supplied. Jehovah supplied Jesus Christ as a sacrifice for us. When we need that peace, what does the shepherd do? He shows us again and again the blood of the cross that covers over our sins. And so we experience that peace with God. We need that. Do we need grace to bear up in time of trial? God will supply that grace. Do I need more faith? Do I need more love? Do I need more communion with God? God will grant that to His people. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. Notice, if we look at the psalm, that David speaks of spiritual blessings. Psalm 23, verse 3, He restoreth my soul. Talking about a spiritual blessing. Verse 3, yet He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. David needs that spiritual blessing. Verse 4, what does David need in that dark shadow of death? The shepherd supplies that. Listen to verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Do we need comfort? In that dark valley, our shepherd supplies what we need. He always supplies what we need. Now it may be, and we could see this from David's life, it may very well be that God brings us into difficult circumstances, into uncomfortable circumstances. Circumstances we would never wish upon even our enemies. He might take a child or a parent or a spouse from us. He might take away our ability to work. He might take away our health. He may bring us into great turmoil in our lives. But He still cares. The truth still remains. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Beloved, do you believe that? Do you believe that from the heart? That's not, I say again, ever a confession that we would make by nature. We would never make that confession from the heart. But by God's grace, we believe it and we confess it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What a great comfort that is to God's people to be able to know that and to be able to say it. Notice again David's confession. He doesn't say, "The Lord is often my shepherd, I shall not want." As if there were times when the shepherd went off and didn't watch the sheep at all. No, he simply states the truth. The Lord is my shepherd. And nor does he say, "The Lord is my shepherd, and for the most part, I shall not lack." No, as if Jehovah sometimes gave him what he needed and other times didn't give him what he needed. No. David states a changeless truth. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. As if to say, the Lord is always my shepherd, and the Lord always cares for me so that I never lack what I need. Never. So that even though David would walk in the darkest circumstances, even there he knew Jehovah would lead him. Psalm 23, verse 4 again. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Often that text is used in connection with funerals. And if there ever was dark circumstances in our lives, it would be the time of our own death or the time of the death of a loved one. But even in those dark circumstances, David knew that Jehovah would be with him. Even though God would lead him in that darkest of circumstances, God would be with him and would comfort him. God would protect him from his enemies, and God would supply his needs, and God would keep him from wandering away. But if that's true, beloved, for that darkest of circumstances, well, then it's true for the other ones who are not, the other circumstances that are not that dark. If it's true that Jehovah will be with him even in that circumstance, then he surely will be with us in the other circumstances of life. And that means, does it not, that it is Jehovah who leads us into and through those circumstances? "For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." David goes even so far as to say, "Though the enemies surround me, still God will take care of me abundantly. Look at verse 5, Psalm 23, verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. As if the enemies are all around, but God provides a banqueting table for David to feast upon. How abundant is that supply? Well, David says, Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. The shepherd cares for his sheep. And he cares for us, beloved. He cares for us. And if it's true, and we can see that in our own lives, that God has led us along the way, He has brought circumstances, difficult circumstances, in the workplace, in the school, in our homes. He has brought us into difficult circumstances, and yet He still cares for us. And He always will. And that's what David confesses at the end of the psalm. Surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It can't be otherwise. If Jehovah is our shepherd, and He cares for us now, and He's cared for us in the past, He will always care for us. He is the unchangeable God. He will always care for us. His goodness and His mercy, His covenant love towards us will never change. They will pursue us. And the idea is they will follow us hard on our heels, as it were. They will always be right there with us all the days of our lives. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the comfort that we have, knowing that Jehovah is our shepherd. May God grant that we would ever rejoice in that truth. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this confession that Thou hast also made our confession. We pray that we would ever rejoice that Thou hast made Thyself our shepherd, and that Thou wilt never leave us nor forsake us, and none shall snatch us out of Thy hand. Go with us, we pray, and bring back those who stray. Bring back us when we stray, for Thy name's sake. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.